Professor Ross has asked me to say that after Professor Gass finishes speaking, there'll be a short break, and then he'll answer questions. Is that right? I had felt very bad about my introduction until I saw about 25 minutes ago the St. Louis Weekly, which is of September 14th this year. What the hell is it? And I thought I would quote from it. I'm not a very disciplined person, Gass said as we sat in his enormous white living room with its fanlit French windows, art books, Manet, Leonardo, scattered about in a stringed lute propped on a stereo speaker in the corner. I can't get a set number of words written each day like Thomas Mann. I can't manage to block my life out that way. And I don't have the emotional callousness that enabled him to write his daily stint on the day of a family suicide. I don't enjoy writing, he said. There was a time I did. In high school, I wrote easily, loved everything I wrote, was astounded at my own ability. It's not been pleasant since. I write now because I feel terrible when I don't. I get a feeling of great futility. But he said, quote, a terrible procrastinator because I have such a hatred of authority. Of all things that assume a position of command, of push. It can be simple things. Let's say I've not paid a bill on time and I get it done. Then I won't pay that bill for an extra long time. I'm overwhelmed by my resistance to pressure. That's really a pain. I don't answer letters for months because I'm supposed to answer them. Well, let's get something straight. You don't bother people. You think I enjoy this? I don't enjoy introducing people. For that matter, I'm not all that crazy about even coming to talks in this room. There's all those stairs to climb. You don't bother people. You give a man a chair, you let him sit in it. You don't bother him. You certainly don't ask him to write anything, even an introduction. You don't ask him to help out. You go elsewhere. You leave folks alone. I'm invited to somebody's house. I don't fill up the doggy bags to take back like so many centerpieces on tables at the affairs and hotels. I'm fetched by duty. Duty fetched me up those steps. The doggy bags of obligation. I came in on the arm of guilt. They're calling in their chits. A pal in hospital for tests. If Shea had any class, he'd have gone closed circuit like Ronald Reagan at $1,000 a plate dinner. He could have phoned this in. What am I, doing a benefit? For Gass? It would be something else if he needed it. If he even wanted it. Oh boy, would it be something else if he even wanted it. I'll tell you something. I gave it the office. The checks in the mail. The checks in the mail that I gave at the office. I'm old and I'm crotchety. I move like traffic jam and have pulled up to that corner of my life, astonished to have lived even this long, where the only privilege left is the privilege of saying no. But they're calling in their chits. I'll be honest. I don't know where they came from, those chits they're calling in. Those ain't any of my IOUs. All right. I'll lay this aside for the moment. Lay aside? Lie aside. I'll lie this aside for the moment. And do. Never mind I gave it the office. Never mind the PBS station has its fund drive. I not only don't pledge, but actually root they don't make their goal. Because you don't bother people. Serene, content to lie back, lay back, and laugh at their dopey pitches. The breakaway, my favorite part, the break, the begging. Their numbers superimposed on a screen for my convenience, explaining their categories, and back to you, Linda, at the tote board. and me sucking in these great drafts of the free public air, content, serene, above all battles but my own, protective as mama bear, jealous of my single prerogative, the redemptive privilege of my peculiar rank, which boiled down comes only to this, is simply no. No, 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 nah, no, nah, no, nah, no, no. This aside for the moment and do what I was asked to do. Gracious as Shylock. I am content. I am content. And introduce gas, which in a way I've already done. In feigned, though not entirely, belligerence like a second language. In mock, antipathetical, inimical, no love lost, rancorous enmity. And would invite you now to listen to the real and thrilling thing, to the cool and stately hate of William Gass, to his large and loving ideas about language, to all his measured, metric, metered mood, his language controlled as a lipizzaner, to Gass as a reader, as well as a writer, and one of the great readers at that, probably the best I know, who does, in a delivery dignified as a metronome set high, what others cannot do, what I, who can tell a joke and even approximate the accents, cannot do with all my adoptive voices, but which he handles with the artful but autonomic grace of a fine swimmer breathing caesuras as he pulls, as he strokes, as he comes. Mr. Metaphor, folks, ladies and gentlemen, William Gass.